Outdoor Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Neiber. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Neiber.
I want to read a verse of Scripture this morning from John chapter 21, verse 24. We read in John 21, 24, this is John speaking, and he says, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true." We know that his testimony is true. Now, there is so much that we just do not know. We don't know if our economy is going to get back on track. It might get worse. We don't know about the wars going on, what's going to happen in the Middle East. There's so much we just don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know whether we'll be healthy or whether we'll be sick. It could be that tomorrow I find out I have cancer or heart disease or something like that. We just don't know. When we look at people and the things that they do, we don't really know why they're doing what they do. We don't really understand the circumstances behind it. We're not competent to make an accurate judgment because we don't know all the facts. We don't really know each other. We don't know how we've been raised and all the variables involved in that. We really don't even know ourselves. We'll surprise ourselves. We'll do things and think, "Why did I do that?" There's so much we do not know. And yet John says, we know that his testimony is true. We know. They may not, but we do. We know. This was the language of the Lord Jesus when he spake with Nicodemus, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness." This is the language of faith. We know. Not merely we hope it will end up being this way, but we know. They may not, but we do. We know. Do you? That's what I've entitled this message. We know. Do you? John says we know that his testimony is true. Now John is speaking of his own testimony. This is the disciple that testifieth these things. He's speaking about himself, the things that he bore witness to. He's speaking of himself. He says, this is the disciple that testifieth of these things. Yet he speaks of himself in the third person when he says, we know that his testimony is true. Who's the we? Who's the we he's speaking of when he says, we know his testimony is true? When John says we know that his testimony is true, he is speaking as the representative of all who believe. All of God's elect. We say we know that his testimony is true. We know. Do you? You see, the truth needs no proofs. It recommends itself as the truth of God. There is such power in the truth that those who believe, when they hear, say, "We know this is the truth." This is not an opinion. This is not speculation. This is not what we think or what so-and-so thinks. This is what we know. Now notice in verse 24, John says, "This is the type, the disciple which testifieth of these things." John says, "I'm bearing witness to what I've seen. This is an objective message. I'm just telling what I have seen. This is not my opinion. This is not my subjective experience. This is not my interpretation. I'm giving testimony to what I have seen." The truth is an objective message. It's the truth whether you and I believe it or not. Somebody says, "Well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Oh no, God said it, that settles it whether you and I believe it or not. The truth is an objective message. But this word testifieth is also where we get the word martyr from. You testify of the truth when you're willing to die for it. It's so precious to you. It's so valuable to you, the truth of which you're testifying, that you're willing to die for it. It means to seal with your own blood your testimony of the truth. Now John says, "This is the disciple which testifies of these things." But next he says, "And he wrote these things." Now, if it's not written down, if it goes from me to you to somebody else, it's going to change. And we're not going to get the real message, are we? That's why we need it written down. That's what the Scripture is all about. It's God's written revelation of Himself. That way I'm not going to be changing it. It's what God says in His book. Here's what happens when something's not written down and men just give their equation of what happened. In verse 21 of this same chapter, Peter, seeing him, talking about John, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" And Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. What business is it of yours what I do with John? What if I will that he tarries and never dies until I return again? What business is that of yours? You follow me. That's your responsibility. You don't need to worry about what somebody else is doing. You do what I tell you to do." Then, verse 23, "went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die." You see, as it passed from one to another, the message was changed. They said, "Well, he said that John's never going to die." No, he didn't say John's never going to die. He said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what business is it of yours?" But he didn't say John was never going to die. "But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" So John says, "This testimony I'm given, I've written down. Thank God for that." And then he says, "We know his testimony, this testimony that's been written down, this testimony of the Scripture, we know that his testimony is true." We know. Do you? Now, how do we know? To speak with such confidence, how do you know? How can you say, "We know"? Now, that's a very reasonable question. How is it that somebody can say, "We know"? Well, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, "It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given." If you know, it's because God has revealed the truth to you. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If someone says, "I don't know," well, then God did not reveal it to you, because those who know, He has revealed the truth to them through the Scriptures, through the objective Word, but He's revealed the truth. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, John says, "But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." In Hebrews chapter 8, We read, "And they shall not teach every man his brother or every man his neighbor, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful." I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. And that's why they're going to know me, because of what I'm doing for them. This is how we know. It's been given to us. We've been given this unction from the Holy One. We've been taught by God, and thus we say, we know. Now, if you say, "I can't say I know," then it hadn't been given to you. Then you do not have an unction from the Holy One. Then God has not been your teacher. Now, rather than argue with this, the wise thing to do would be to ask God for this gift. "Lord, let me know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Ask for this unction, this anointing from the Holy One. Ask that God be your teacher." The Lord said, "Ask and you shall receive." You have not, because you ask not. Now we know. We know. We realize our knowledge is partial. Paul said, "We know in part, and we see through a glass darkly, but it's real nonetheless." And this knowledge we have is much more than assent to some propositions. We love what we know. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, "We know we all have knowledge. Knowledge only puffs up, but charity builds up." This knowledge we have isn't simply that knowledge that puffs up, "Well, I think I know something that you don't know, and that gives me an edge over you." That's not true knowledge. There's no wisdom in that. It's not just correct data. But it's a love of the truth, a love of what you know. Your salvation is found in this knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, who knows you. And this knowledge we have comes along with a desire to do His will. Now listen real carefully. In John chapter 7, verse 17, the Lord said, "If any man will do His will, he will know the doctrine, whether it be of God." Now, if I do not know, the problem is not my intellect. The problem is my will. It's a sin problem if I do not know. The Lord said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now in John chapter 10, the Lord was speaking of His sheep. And let me tell you this about sheep. They're sheep and they're goats. A sheep never becomes a goat, and a goat never becomes a sheep. You remember in Matthew chapter 25 when all the nations are divided by the Lord as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats? They're sheep and they're goats. And look what our Lord says regarding His sheep. Verse 4, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." God's sheep know His voice. In verse 24 of this same chapter, "Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us to doubt? If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Sheep know. Now, what are the things that we know? What is this testimony that we know is true? I want to give you how the Bible uses this phrase, "I know," or "we know." And here's the first thing I want to deal with. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 20, 21, "Knowing this first, that no scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I know the Bible is the infallible Word of God. I know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can I prove that to you? No, I can't. Nor can I prove to you that God exists. But I know He is. And I know this book is God's revelation of Himself. Somebody says, I just can't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, but I do. And I know this is God's infallible word. I know the Bible is God's infallible word. And you can bring up all kinds of objections. You can bring up all kinds of supposed contradictions. With if they're really seeing, they're not contradictions. You can make all the arguments against it. All that being said, I know the Bible is God's infallible word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible claims infallibility. Now, it's either just a book like Shakespeare or Milton or some other great classic old literature, the Odyssey that people like to read, or it's the inspired word of God. It's one or the other, and I know it's God's word. And if God teaches you, you're going to begin right here. The Bible is the word of God. Now, if you take this from me, all we're left with is my opinion or your opinion. And who wants to be left with that? But thank God, He has given a revelation of Himself, and we know that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul the Apostle said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We know that. They may not, but we do. We know that all things, the bad things, the good things, the successes, the failures, the tragedies, all things, doesn't matter what they are, all things, God's in control of everything. The devil's God's devil on God's chain. He's God's servant. He may not want to be, but he's doing God's will, accomplishing God's purposes. Everything that happens, God's in control of. All things work together, not separately, but together for good. For the eternal good of them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You see, God's got a purpose. And I know that because I know God. God's got a purpose. God's got a will. And His will's going to be done. This is what the... How do you know this? Because the Bible says it. We have to begin with the Bible being the Word of God. And the Bible says, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He has a purpose, and that purpose must be done because He willed it. He's God. Anything less than this is unworthy of God. God is sovereign. He's in control. We know that. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now he's talking about God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. It's spiritual. It's holy. It's the law of God. We know the law is spiritual, perfect, reflecting God's perfect character. We know the law is spiritual, and we know, Paul says, that I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin, an absolute slave to sin, where I cannot keep God's holy law. I'm not making an excuse. I'm simply stating the fact. I haven't kept one commandment one time. Not spiritually, I haven't. I might have told the truth, but underneath it, I had a bad motive in order to promote me or to hurt somebody else. I might not have ever committed adultery physically, but I've done it in my heart. Go on down all these commandments. I might have never murdered anybody physically, but I've been jealous and envious of them and murdered their character. Every one of God's commandments is beyond me. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Paul said in that same chapter, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know that about myself. I know I'm nothing but sin. In and of myself, that's all I am. Now somebody says, well, I can't honestly say that about myself. I think there's some good in me. True, I do bad things and I commit sins and I make mistakes, but I can't see where you'd say that all I am is sin. Well, if you say that, it's because you've never seen the Lord. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And when he saw the Lord, you know what he said about himself? He said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. Everything that comes out of my lips is unclean because it comes out of an unclean heart. If you see the Lord, you'll see yourself. Daniel said, when I saw him, my comeliness turned to corruption. Job said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes. When I see him, I know that I'm nothing but sin. Now Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You know the unmerited favor, the completely unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what grace does. It makes us rich before God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was rich in righteousness, rich in praise, rich in love. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. This is talking about what happened to him on the cross. The sins of God's people became his, and he became poor. Poor before God. Suffering the wrath of God. And through his poverty, everybody he died for is made rich. Rich in righteousness. Rich in acceptance. Rich in grace. It's because of His grace that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We know that salvation's by grace. Peter said, you know you weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold received from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You know that. You know you weren't redeemed by something you did, but by what He did, because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not up for argument, you know. Then Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, what I believe is 100% determined by whom I believe. Now, if you believe, or if I believe, in a Christ who is not absolutely sovereign, who's not absolutely Lord, it's possible for me to believe in free will. But if I believe in a Christ who's absolutely sovereign, I can't possibly believe in free will. I believe He's sovereign over all things and that He controls everything. If I really believe that Jesus Christ is almighty, perfect before God, that His will must be done, it would be impossible for me to believe that He could die for somebody and intend on them being saved and they end up being damned. No, everybody He intends to save, He saves. Everybody He died for, they must be saved. It would be impossible to believe on Christ as the Scripture presents Him, and yet believe that He could fail in His intentions. Here's the point. What I believe is determined by who I believe. You don't come to Christ through doctrine. You come to your doctrine through Christ. When you find out who He is, the doctrine becomes obvious. In Romans 4:14, Paul said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. Sin is not in things. Sin comes from the heart. Sin isn't in outward things like alcohol or tobacco. That's not where sin is, in the heart. Nothing is unclean of itself. I know that. And I'm persuaded of it. What men think of sin, they look in the wrong place. They look out here somewhere and they fail to look in here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, Paul said, this you know. that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know that if that's the character of your life, God hadn't done anything for you. Or if that's the character of a man's life, God hadn't done anything for him. You know that. Don't let yourself be deceived with vain words. We know. I want to close with this thought. The Lord said to that woman at the well who was so confused, He said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asketh thee to drink, you would have asked, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew the gift of God, how every aspect of salvation is the free gift of God, the free gift with no strings attached, the only truly free gift that you don't have to pay for. It's free. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was talking to you, if you knew the giver of this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He is the unspeakable gift Himself, and He's the giver. And every aspect of salvation is His gift. We read of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of righteousness, and the gift of justification, and the gift of eternal life, and the gift of faith, and the gift of grace. Every aspect of salvation is His gift. Now, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was speaking to you, the great giver, here's what you would have done. You would ask, and He would give. If you knew the gift of God, how that all of salvation truly is a free gift, and if you knew the character of the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what you'd do. You'd ask of Him. And He would give. Everyone who asks receives. Somebody says, well, I've asked Him for things. He hadn't given them to me. You've not asked Him. You've tried to bargain with Him. Everybody who asks receives. Oh, beloved, we know. Do you? Now, if you knew the gift of God and who He is, you'd ask and He'd give. We know that is so. Now, we have this message on DVD, CD, or cassette. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.